Open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1. Before I read our text, I hear so many Christians say this to me. Well, Brother Chuck, I know that this church over here, this pastor over here, they don't get a lot of things right. And I know that they don't take a stand for the right to life. And I know they don't take a stand for the right of self-defense. And I know that the pastor doesn't say a lot of things that he should say relative to our liberties and our freedoms in our country. And I know that their doctrine is off on this and that. But they preach the gospel. So we can't be too harsh on them. Because, after all, that's the most important thing. And they preach the gospel, even if they don't preach anything else. So the message today is titled, Are Evangelicals Really Preaching the Gospel? Now, this is going to be a very, very important message. And I want you to listen very carefully. I don't think this message is going to be super long, which probably means it's going to be super long. But I don't think it's going to be super long. But I'm not going to hurry through this because the content is so important. And the lack of exposure to the truth of this message is so pervasive that I must meticulously and deliberately deliver this message to you with the hope that you will be able to truly digest it, and those of you online, that it will help you tremendously to understand this very, very important issue. Are evangelicals really preaching the gospel? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said to the church at Galatia, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Underline that. Another gospel, which is not another. There is no other gospel.
Amen. Right.
But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Underline that. Pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. In common vernacular. Any one, if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now you can turn if you want, but I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because here is where Paul defines the gospel. Verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel. One gospel. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You're saved by that one gospel. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, meaning by God's revelation, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel. There are a plethora of evangelical churches who claim to believe and preach the gospel. Again, verse 1. Paul told professing Christians at Galatia that many of them had left the gospel for another gospel. Then he told them that in fact there is no other gospel. There's only one gospel. And I am shocked at how soon you have removed yourselves from the gospel and have turned unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, because there's only one gospel. But you have left the gospel. Now these are Christians that heard Paul preach the gospel. They heard Paul preach the gospel. God gave the new covenant gospel to Paul to explain to the early church. Paul was the first one to receive that revelation of a new covenant gospel. It is through the writings of the Apostle Paul that we come to understand the new covenant gospel. These Christians in Galatia heard Paul himself preach the gospel. Now he had been away from them for a period of time. And he hears that many of the people in Galatia who said, while Paul was there, that they believed and embraced the gospel, have turned from the gospel and have turned into what they called other gospels. And that's why Paul wrote the entire letter to the book of Galatians, to the people of Galatia. That's why he wrote the book. He also said in the text that we read, the very first chapter, Galatians 1, the introduction to the book, he said that deceivers would attempt to pervert, the word pervert, the synonym for that would be corrupt, to pervert or corrupt the gospel. If the gospel has been corrupted, it is no longer the gospel. If you've altered it or changed it or applied it improperly, it is no longer the gospel. Then he said that if any man, an angel from heaven included, preached any other gospel than the gospel that Paul preached, the new covenant gospel, let him be accursed, meaning let him be eternally damned. That's how seriously Paul took this issue, which prompted this letter to the Galatians. Now notice Galatians chapter 1 again. I want to read it again. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto his grace, unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert or corrupt the gospel of Christ. But then, let's keep reading. Look at what he says immediately after that. For now do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I have three very simple and yet profound points in this message today. The first one is this. Perverting or corrupting the New Covenant gospel means using the gospel as a tool to please men and not Christ. Can I say that again? Perverting or corrupting the gospel means using the gospel as a tool to please men and not Christ. This might be the biggest collapse of New Covenant gospel teaching among evangelicals in America today. This might be the most culpable reason for this collapse of the gospel. Using the gospel as a tool to please men and not Christ. See, Paul, what he say? Do I seek to please men? Right after he gets done talking about another gospel, which is no other gospel, and perverting the gospel. Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The gospel, please listen to me. the gospel is Christ's gospel. It is not man's gospel. Man does not have a right to interpret Christ's gospel as he wants to. The gospel does not belong to man. It does not belong to the preacher of men. The gospel belongs to Christ. It is his gospel. He created it. He defines it. That means the gospel belongs to Christ. Does not belong to man. Therefore, the gospel cannot be used for man's pleasure, popularity, or personal agenda. But today, perhaps the biggest problem in evangelicalism is that too many evangelical pastors use the gospel as a tool to please and elevate man. The gospel is used to exalt man and not Christ. They use the gospel as a motivational speech to build up man. I've heard pastors say things like to their flocks when talking about the gospel. You deserve to be saved. You ever heard that? Yeah, I've heard that several times. You deserve to be saved. Or, the gospel was given to you because God knows you deserve it. Or, God knew you were special. And phrases like that ad infinitum. What that is doing is building up man's ego. It is magnifying man, not Christ. It is using the gospel as a vehicle in which to magnify the feelings of self-importance among the hearers. They pervert the gospel to make it all about them, the people, the congregation, and the way they feel, how they feel about themselves. Evangelicalism today, for the most part, is a people's feeling-based ministry. Everything they do, from the pulpit, the classroom, the special meetings, the seminars, everything they do is all about making people feel good about themselves. And the gospel is corrupted for that use as well. Even in the presentation of the gospel, it's because they're special. We are all wretched, wicked, vile sinners. Amen. Who are helpless and hopeless to ever live in eternal life in heaven, except for God loving us as sinners with all of our wretchedness and all of our wickedness, and sending his son to pay the price of himself, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. That who through faith in Christ and what he did on the cross for us may find forgiveness and redemption from God because of his love and because of our faith in what Jesus did for us. The gospel is all about Christ, not us. If we don't receive the gospel is still the gospel. The gospel is not hurt one iota because anybody chose to reject it. It is God's. It is Christ's. It is his truth. Our opinion doesn't count one iota. Did you hear that? Your opinion doesn't count. How you feel doesn't matter. Whether you feel all warm and fuzzy or not doesn't matter. Well, I can already tell I'm not going back to this church anymore. Yeah, because you're living a feelings-based life. You work on a feelings-based existence. You live in a feelings-based existence. Everything you do has to do with how you feel. If somebody says something to you that offends you, I'm calling the police on you. You hater. You meanie. You didn't consider how I might feel about what you're saying. You know, this is so... Lord help me. This is so pervasive. I finally broke down, just a little side here. You know, my computer that I just finally had to bury with much solemnity, I might add, music playing, hat off, buried. It was Windows 7. It was 138 years old. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's the longest living computer in existence. That's what I've been working with until just a few weeks ago. The hinge, you know, when you flip up the laptop, you know, you flip it up and down. The hinge broke years ago. And it was sticking out behind it. Every once in a while, I'd cut my hand. When I get the, because the piece of metal, you know, and so it's crooked. You know, and I can't only go up so far, or I'll break it. The other hinge will break, and then my screen will just flop back and forth. And so the whole time I'm working, I'm working on the computer like this. Because it's not straight. And getting emails, people would drive on the wagon train from Kansas City to California faster than I could load my emails. You know, I would start loading the emails and then I would go have lunch, you know, or do something, you know, really take a long time and then come back and there might be still 15 minutes left. It was just a dinosaur. So finally, I broke down. I hate new computers. I hate new cell phones. I gotta relearn everything. I'm too old to relearn anything. That's not really true when it comes to the truth, but when it comes to electronics. So I'm still learning my Windows 11. I'm not even using 10. I'm using Windows 11. Which means I don't know much of anything that I'm looking at. But, so I'm topping this sermon. So it came to the part about being accursed. And I said, Paul said, that if any man preaches any other gospel unto you than what I preached unto you, let him be accursed, let him be eternally damned, was the way I put it in my notes. Eternally damned. I got a little note on my screen. And the note said, some people may be offended at this term. I almost murdered my Windows 11 brand new computer. Can you believe that? Now it's telling me as I type, oh, don't say that. You might offend somebody. That's not a good choice. Consider saying this. No, I don't want to say that. I want to say what I said. But that's how ingrained this feelings-based nonsense has wrapped itself inside the hearts and the minds of most of the American people, including Christians. I got news for you. You do not have a right under God to not be offended. So you're offended. Tough it up. Be a man about it. Be a woman about it. Good grief. Can you imagine the World War II generation being offended about
anything?
It's in the church. The pastor doesn't want to offend anybody. He doesn't want to say, you're a wicked sinner. And that's why Jesus died on the cross for you, is to save you from yourself, from your sins and your wretchedness. And he, the innocent Lamb of God, died in your place, took your sin upon himself, that you might have eternal life. They don't want to say that. So they changed the gospel into a sloppy, sugary, feel good, don't offend, don't upset anybody's feelings gospel. That's called perverting the gospel. It's corrupting the gospel. Paul said to the Galatians that the gospel was all about pleasing God, not pleasing men. He went on to say, "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." This statement intimates that the true gospel, the one gospel, would not be popular. It intimates the true gospel would not exalt man or tickle his feelings. Why else would Paul say that? Right after talking about the gospel, he said, "Do I please men or God? If I please men, I'm not the servant of God." Right after talking about the gospel. So Paul knows that the true gospel is not popular. The true gospel does not exalt man. The true gospel does not tickle his feelings. If the true gospel tickled the feelings of the first century Jews, why did they throw so many stones at him? Why did they beat him up so much? Why did they throw him in jail if the gospel made him feel so good? He's just kidding. Here Paul preached the gospel and they all went, "Oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, well, I feel so great about myself. Tell me more." No! They bent over, picked up rocks, and started throwing at him. A mob got together and said, "Let's get him." And they took their fists and they beat him up for preaching the gospel. Listen to me very carefully. Any pastor, I don't care who he is, I don't care how big his church is, I don't care what his name is, what his reputation is, any pastor who attempts to use the gospel to exalt men, to tickle their feelings, or to make the gospel fashionable to men is perverting the gospel. This is another gospel, which is no gospel at all. And these churches all over the place, that's what they're doing. They're trying to make the gospel fashionable, make it palatable to the egos of men. That's not the gospel. Do you hear me? That is not the gospel. Those pastors are not preaching the gospel. They're preaching another gospel. They're perverting the gospel. The congregation is out there going, "Amen," thinking, "My pastor preaches the gospel." No, he doesn't. He's preaching a false gospel. But the congregation are so biblically illiterate, they can't tell the difference. No one personifies this gospel perversion more than America's prosperity preachers. And I don't need to go into that to any length of time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, "Christ died for our sins." The gospel. Christ died for our sins. Simple, right? Well, yeah, that brother over there, he doesn't I know he won't stand up for the right to life, and I know he won't stand up for the right of self-defense, and I know he won't say anything controversial, but he preaches the gospel. Well, does he try to make the gospel fashionable to the unsaved world? If he does, he's not preaching the gospel. Okay, that's number one. But here we go. Christ died for our sins. But according to George Barna's latest survey, are you listening? Only 44% of evangelical Christians believe Jesus lived a sinless life. Now you got to stay with me here. 44% of the evangelicals attending church every Sunday do not believe Jesus lived a sinless life. Well, wait a minute. 1 Peter 2:22 says, who Jesus did no sin. The Bible says Jesus lived a sinless life. Of course he did. He was God in flesh. The 56% of evangelicals who do not believe that Jesus lived a sinless life, 56% of evangelicals who do not believe that Jesus lived a sinless life are not saved. They have never trusted the gospel for their salvation. They are not Christians. There is no if, ands, or buts about this. This is not even open for debate. Anybody who doesn't believe that Jesus lived a sinless life is not a Christian, and he's never accepted the gospel, because the gospel says Christ died for our sins. But if Jesus was not sinless, if he was not sinless, he could not have been the perfect sacrifice required to die for our sins, but was himself a sinner needing a Savior of his own. So if you believe, 56% of evangelicals do, that Jesus was not sinless, then you have no gospel. Because Jesus, who died on the cross, if he wasn't sinless, that means he was a sinner just like you and me. And he was not the perfect sacrifice required for our sins. So you don't believe the gospel. You don't believe Christ died for your sins. How could one sinner die for the sins of another sinner? Jesus was worthy to take our sins upon himself because he had no sins of his own. Such a position is rank heresy. So right away, we have to acknowledge that 56%, or if you say approximately, it's more than half, of the evangelical Christians in America are as lost as a goose in a stove's arm. They've never trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ because they don't believe the man who died on the cross to save them was sinless. That's over half. And that's just on one point. How can evangelical people sit in an evangelical church and listen to an evangelical pastor preach the gospel and not know that Jesus was the sinless Son of God and God and flesh. How could over half of the Christians in the evangelical churches believe Jesus was not the sinless Son of God? How could that be? Because the pastors are not preaching the gospel. They are preaching a twinkle-toe, feel-good, walk-through-the-tulips gospel. And that's why over half of their congregations are dying and going to hell, because they've never believed the gospel, because the pastor has never given them the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul also said to the Galatians, I marvel, this is his quote, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Which brings me to point number two. Paul was directly in the book of Galatians and in the passage in chapter 1, directly referring to the Judaizers who were attempting to mix the law of Moses with the New Covenant gospel. The mixing of the law of Moses with the New Covenant gospel is a perversion of the New Covenant gospel. It is a corruption of the New Covenant gospel. Now I'm going to give you some quotations from Paul, and I could just about read you the entire book of Galatians and make it relevant. But for sake of time, I've only selected some of his statements to the Galatians, but I want to start with something he wrote to Titus in chapter 1 and verse 14. Listen to what Paul said to Titus. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Pay no attention to Jewish fables and commandments of men. That's what he told Titus. Now listen to what he told the people at Galatia. The rest of these quotes will be from the book of Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Hello? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, the Old Testament law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3, 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians. Nobody would hire the Apostle Paul as a pastor. Can you imagine today? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Strong word. Bewitchment. You're under a spell. You're under a demonic spell. You've been bewitched. You've not just been tricked. You've been bewitched. Your mind has been altered. You're under a spell of darkness. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Using Chuck's terminology, the Chuck's version of this. Are you so stupid? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? I mean, this is severe rebuke to these people. Galatians 3:11, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:13-14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law now stands as a curse now that the new covenant gospel is here. The old covenant law is a curse. Who has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everything that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham. Oh, how much do the evangelicals love to talk about the blessings of Abraham. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 4:8-10. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which were by nature no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? That's how Paul describes the Jewish customs. Weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. And you can put the word Jewish in front of that because that's what he means, and everybody in Galatia knew it. You observe Jewish days and months and times and years. The mixing of the old covenant law with the new covenant gospel is a corruption of the new covenant gospel. Anybody who tries to mix Old Testament law and New Testament covenant of Christ is corrupting the gospel and is not preaching the gospel. Amen. Galatians 5:4. Listen to this. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Christ is become of no effect to you. Well, you've already got 56% of the evangelicals who Christ is of no effect to them. None, zero, zilch. Mixing the law of Moses with the new covenant gospel, Christ is of no effect. So you wonder why these evangelicals are so ineffective in standing for the righteousness of the new covenant gospel. It's because they themselves have had no effect by the new covenant gospel, because they themselves have not received the gospel of Christ. They have another gospel, a perverted, corrupted gospel in which Christ has no effect. Which brings me to number three and lastly. Any introduction of the works of the law into new covenant gospel salvation is a perversion of the gospel. Any belief system that requires obedience to the Ten Commandments for salvation or any other old covenant law is another gospel, which is no gospel. Any belief system that requires works of any kind for salvation, water baptism, obeying the golden rule, church membership, spiritual gifts such as tongues, faith healing, etc., requirements of religious rituals or catechisms ad infinitum, is another gospel, which is no gospel. I constantly hear Christians talk of these other gospel preachers and churches. Well, they don't do this, they don't do that, they don't believe this, they don't da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But they preach the gospel. Do they? Do they really? Exactly which gospel are they preaching? Hear Paul again. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. My friends, my dear, dear friends, listen very carefully, very carefully to what these modern evangelical pastors are saying, lest you fall prey to their heresy and damn your soul with their false gospel. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer.